You know, I've been saying for a long time that I believe a sequence of events is coming, and I see no reason to change my mind yet. Hindsight is always a lot better, but so far I see no reason to change my mind. There is judgment about to fall, folks, and it's going to bring this new world order that the Bible speaks about in Revelation chapter 12, the dragon with the seven heads and ten horns, the first stage in the new world order. The judgment that's about to fall on the earth is going to frighten the earth so bad that they're going to decide that they need a one world order and that the UN, frankly, is not enough because it really doesn't have enough authority or power to enforce stability. The world is going to cry out for law and order very shortly, folks. I'm talking about international law and order. Because there are bad actors out there. In fact, we're living in one right now. There are bad actors out there that don't understand the ways of God. They want to force their way into everything. It's so neat to know that if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. It's so neat to know that we don't have to wrestle with flesh and blood, but instead we wrestle with the principalities and powers. The world doesn't understand that. The worldly Christian doesn't understand that. And that's not Christianity, folks. Jesus was at peace, and his disciples were at peace. They didn't wrestle with the world. They didn't take sides with one part of the world against another part of the world. They stayed out of their business. They took care of their business, which was the Great Commission, to go forth and share. We're the only ones here that can do that, folks. You know, if we get caught up in the world and we do the things that the world is doing, who's going to do our job? Our job is to offer the benefits of Jesus Christ to this world. We need to get about our business. And I can tell you that the Lord is going to restore the fear of the Lord so that an awful lot of Christians are going to get about their Father's business. Remember when Jesus was very young and he said, I must be about my Father's business. Well, that's what we're here for, as sons of God. Now, Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. And as sons of God, we need to be about our Father's business. And our Father's business, frankly, is the Great Commission. We need to study to show ourselves approved so that the Lord can use us to do those things that those first disciples did. And that is demonstrate the power of God's salvation in all forms, spirit, soul, and body. And he offers to you this authority to be an ambassador for him, to represent him to this world. And the only way you can represent Jesus and be a witness of Jesus is, according to him, you have to walk as he walked. And you know, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And so, that's true Christianity, folks. Come out from among them, those dead churches out there that don't believe in the Jesus, the same Jesus of the Bible. That's a reprobate church. It's just playing church. That's all it is. So you need to come out from among them and seek a true fellowship with the Lord that's around the Word of God. The Word of God in your heart is what's going to carry you through these times to come. A great shaking is coming. Every time we've had a new world order, I've pointed this out to you before, every time we have come across a new world order, it was because there was a great shaking. World War I brought the League of Nations. World War II brought the United Nations. And now we're about to have another war that's worse than either one of those. And it's going to bring the dragon. Yes, it is. The dragon kingdom. Which is just another reformation of the UN. That's all it is, folks. All nations are going to be in this beast. Just like the Bible says. It's going to be different from every beast before it because it's going to have all nations in it. And, of course, a one world religious order is coming along with it. But, at any rate, what would cause the world that disagrees on so much to come together on anything? I'll tell you. Fear. That's what's worked before. That's what'll work this time. And you're praying for those loved ones on every side. You're praying for the people in the world to come to Jesus, and the fear of the Lord has to be restored. We will not get out of the shaking that's coming. He said, yet once more will I shake the heavens and the earth. And as we've seen in the last couple of weeks from different verses in the Bible, that the Lord said that this is what was going to cause His people to come out of the world and into His kingdom. The shaking. The shaking, the truth, the latter rain, these are going to combine together to bring God's people out of this world. So get ready, because it's coming. I believe that America's in for a strike that will be worse than any 9-1-1 for sure. And that won't be the end of it. There'll be a war in the Middle East. There'll be strikes against Iran and Iraq and I don't know who all else. Maybe even Syria. But it's going to be a terrible war. It's going to put the fear of God in the world. And God's going to use this to cause a lot of Christians to give up their foolishness and turn away from the traditions of men and get into that word. Because people are going to realize it is the end times. You know, the world knows what I'm talking about. Not just the Christians, not just the prophecies. Many of you out there have had dreams and visions, revelations of these things coming, of cities being nuked in America, of America striking back at Iran, of a great war starting through all this. Many of you have seen that. But you know what? The experts know it too. That's the strange thing. That now, they're agreeing with the dreams and the prophecies and the revelations that the Lord has given to us of these things that are coming. These things that we're talking about, they're just a repetition of history. It's just that God has to do it on a larger scale. You know? So, but I'm going to read this thing to you. This is from Mike Cathy. He's picked this up. And it's basically confirming what we've been saying from the Lord in the dreams and the visions and in the Word of God. It's a confirming that the world, actually, the experts in the world are saying the same thing. Some of you know this and some of you may not. It's called America in the End Times, In the Crosshairs of Apocalypse by Bill Wilson, who is a KIN senior analyst. Washington, July the 19th. KIN, a nuclear end to the United States within the next year is predicted by several intelligence analysts. Well, I won't go that far, folks, because I can tell you that's not going to be the end of the United States, but it is going to be the end of the United States as we know it. Okay? Within the next year is predicted by several intelligence analysts if a plan by Osama bin Laden is executed, sealing an apocalyptic fate for the beacon of the free world and Western civilization. Well, I'll tell you who my beacon of the free world is, and that's Jesus Christ. Because there ain't going to be any freedom without Him. And the more the United States and other countries turn away from Him, the less freedom there'll be. Paul Williams, award-winning investigative journalist, former FBI consultant, and author of Osama's Revenge, The Next 9-1-1, has conducted extensive interviews with the intelligence community and has connected many reports and news stories that lead to the conclusion that al-Qaeda terrorists have nuclear weapons, and some of them are in the United States, and they plan to coordinate a simultaneous devastating attack in the near future. His information is given more credibility by the recent book written by House Armed Services Vice Chairman, Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Kurt Weldon, entitled Countdown to Terrorism. Weldon references a similar operation dubbed the 12th IMAM by an Iranian terrorist coordinating committee that gives organizational and strategic direction to al-Qaeda, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, and others. Both men say they have had to take their information public because intelligence officers in the federal government and within the Bush administration will not acknowledge the threat. Well, they haven't historically acknowledged the threat. You know, from Flight 800 on down, you know, they haven't acknowledged the threat. They've tried to cover it up. because it's good for economy. When people feel comfortable and they like to turn loose of their money, they like to spend, and it's good for the economy. And they know that. They don't want to look bad on paper, folks, because you don't win elections like that. So they know that. They want everybody just to be at peace and so on and so forth till the next strike. And many of them, as they can cover up, they will cover up because of their political objectives. Okay, but I tell you what's coming, they're not going to be able to cover it up. Well, several calls by this reporter to the Department of Homeland Security specifically asking about both men's commentaries have gone unreturned. I can imagine they do not want to talk about it. You'll not see it in the national news either, because they're all in the same bed. Congressman Weldon's book cites a well-connected Iranian resistance source that has provided specific information about strategies and plans for terrorist attacks that have been amazingly accurate. The book, written and released earlier this year, also has a reference from this source about an upcoming bombing operation in London. Weldon references a coordinating group called the Committee of Nine in Iran that brings strategic direction to the world's most deadly terrorist groups. This coordinating committee has been planning a devastating attack on the United States called the 12th IMAM, which to Islamists means devastation, similar to the end of the world that is prophesied upon the return of Jesus Christ. Of course, they believe that when Jesus comes back, he's going to fight against those nasty Christians. And you know what? There's a little bit of truth to that. Because, you know, in 70 AD, which is, of course, our parallel and our type, God's people were the ones that were destroyed by the beast. The Roman government went in there and slaughtered God's Old Testament people. And, of course, they slaughtered themselves before they ever got there. But the same thing is going to happen, folks. A lot of people who are called Christians are going to go into the great and terrible day of the Lord. And they're going to be wiped out, folks. I'll tell you that right now. This attack could well involve nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons. Yes. And that's exactly what the prophets and the dreams and the visions have all been saying. Do you know that any time God's going to do something, this is historically accurate. Check me out on this. Any time God does something that involves his people, people always get dreams and visions and prophecies in every case. Every case. Iran is the world's leading sponsor of international terrorism through the Committee of Nine. Weldon also says that Iran is very close to or has already obtained or developed a nuclear weapon. Williams agrees that Iran is a focal point, saying, is Iran a center of Al-Qaeda? Yes. Is it a place we have to address? Yes. Are they becoming nuclear capable by the minute? Yes. Are they intent upon the destruction of the United States? Yes. Are they pro-democratic? No. These people are intent upon our destruction. And I want to tell you something, folks. People get to wrestling with flesh and blood when they get their eyes upon their earthly enemies. Because in the scriptures, every time God's people had an overwhelming enemy come against them, God sent that enemy. Every time. Things have not changed today, folks. God has raised up these people to come against and bring to their cross apostate Christianity. And that's what's going to happen. God loves us enough, and he knows we're not ready to meet him. And he's going to have a spotless and blemishless bride, not according to position, but according to manifestation. He's going to have a spotless and blemishless bride. He is raising up an enemy like he did so many times. Read Judges chapter 8 and 9. Every time God's people went astray, God raised up an enemy against them. And every time they repented, God sent them saviors. Interesting. So God just repeats history. That's all he does over and over and over. Williams maintains that the intelligence community has known Osama bin Laden has had access to nuclear weaponry since the 1990s. Williams said that bin Laden began his quest for nuclear weapons in 1992 in the Sudan. Bin Laden operatives testified in 1999 that he obtained a nuclear weapon while he was there from South Africa. We know from Pakistani and Saudi and Israeli and British and Russian sources that in 1996, when he returned from Afghanistan, he purchased tactical nuclear weapons from the Chechen Mafia. Williams said, at that time, the black market was flooded with nuclear weapons due to the disintegration of the Soviet Union. Germany, in 1996, reported 700 incidents of the sale of nuclear weapons and materials. Williams said, bin Laden is patiently deploying them across the porous borders of the United States for final detonation in seven U.S. cities, including New York, Washington, D.C., Miami, Chicago, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles, among other possible targets such as Houston and Denver. And on our site, we have some of these that that are corroborated by people's dreams and visions. You can go there and read them. And there's some others, too. I don't know that they're going to set off seven nuclear weapons in the United States. I don't believe they're going to be able to do that, but I believe that there will be some. Williams said, intelligence obtained from the confiscated laptops of nuclear scientists confirms some of the nuclear weapons, perhaps up to 20 of them, were deployed to the United States. President George W. Bush, in his most recent address about the war on terror in July the 11th, Quantico, Virginia, made specific mention of the nuclear threat, but in the context that the United States was working with allies to prevent it. We're working, quote George Bush, we're working with our allies to share information and to prevent terrorists from obtaining weapons of mass destruction. Thanks to the hard work of hundreds of our intelligence community, we have stopped a number of grave threats to the American people, Bush said. Together with our allies, we uncovered and dismantled Libya's nuclear program. We worked with Pakistan and other nations to shut down the world's most dangerous nuclear trading network. And since September the 11th, our coalition has disrupted a number of al-Qaeda terrorist plots, arrested al-Qaeda operatives here to case-specific U.S. targets, and caught others trying to sneak into our country. That was George Bush. Controlling the borders is key, according to Williams. Last summer, for instance, Time magazine reported that one weapon developed by bin Laden was forward deployed to Mexico and transported over our borders. According to Sheikh Kabbani, the president of the Supreme Islamic Council of North America, at least 20 tactical nukes are here already. And Williams cites the experts, General Eugene Habinger, who was in charge of strategic weapons at the Pentagon, said an incident of nuclear terrorism on American soil is no longer a question of if, but when. And Dr. Graham Allison of Harvard University, one of the leading experts on counterterrorism, believes that a nuclear incident from al-Qaeda will occur within the United States even by the end of the year. And as you know, this was, of course, in the end of last year. And as you know, we had the Lord totally implied to us that there was a delay in that. Not only that judgment, but another sequence of events. But I don't think it's been delayed for long, folks. I believe that we're right on the edge of it again. And this time I don't believe God's going to delay it. Weldon says, the Patriot, you know, God is merciful. And he wants, and his people cried out that, Lord, we have loved ones that are not ready for these things. It's true, folks, but I can tell you that most of them will not ever get ready until God shakes the heaven and the earth, which is what he said he would do. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. And you know what cannot be shaken. The rock, Jesus Christ, right? Weldon says the Patriot Act must be renewed Well, I know some of you out there are saying, boo, boo. The Patriot Act must be renewed. And Bush should be. I'm just reading this, folks. Look, I'm not telling you, you know, I'm not in agreement with all of it, but I'm just reading it, okay? He says, the Patriot Act must be renewed, and Bush should be given more support to fight terrorism. Well, I don't think they know who he is either, frankly. Williams agrees, saying that the Patriot Act should not only be renewed, but reformed and expanded. He said the U.S. must get control of its borders, and the government needs to take off the gloves and go into the mosques in the United States and ferret out the extremists. Well, I don't think if the Lord doesn't guard the house, they labor in vain that build it, folks. And when the Lord raises up an enemy, he may give you some successes, but ultimately they're coming in if you don't repent. And if there is no repentance in America, these things are coming, for sure. These cells, I know, are already established. They are established with the help of the various mosques throughout the country. Williams said 80% of the mosques in the U.S. right now, according to sources including Sheikh Kabbani, have been radicalized. These mosques right now are hotbeds for Al-Qaeda, and unless we become aware of this issue and try to do something, we are in serious trouble. No, I disagree. If we don't repent and walk with the Lord, we are in serious trouble. Something to consider. The U.S. has been on a sure slippery slope to moral decline, like Israel some 2,500 years ago. The U.S. has been given way to denying God, to homosexuality, to witchcraft, to child sacrifice through abortion. Many believe that the Islamic terrorism is God's judgment on the U.S. in Jeremiah 51 and 52. The Lord speaks of a Babylon with seaports that is a mixing bowl of people and is a land without control of its borders, very similar to the current United States. Well, folks, I have to tell you that the judgments that are coming upon this nation and upon the other nations, all the nations of the world, these judgments aren't coming because of the world. These judgments are coming because of God's people. Read the Bible. It is very specific, very clear that God works all things together for the good of His people. The judgments, why is it that every world ruling empire in the Bible conquered Israel? Can you imagine that little sliver of land? Why is it that God ordained that happened, that He said Himself that He drew these nations to do this? Like, for instance, in Isaiah 10 and 5, where He said it about the Assyrian Empire, that He put it in their hearts to go and conquer and plunder Israel. And now He's raising up a one-world empire to do the same with New Testament Israel, the church. New Testament spiritual Israel, the church. So, the things that are happening, we can't blame them upon the world. That's deception. Christians are pointing their finger at the world. You got to repent. America, you got to repent. No, it's the Christians that haven't repented. That's why these things are coming. I agree that God is demonstrating His power against sin around us to impress us with the fear of the Lord. But the truth is, the reason this world is falling apart is because there's no Christianity in it. He goes on to say, the Lord said in Jeremiah 51 and 14, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, often having the meaning in the Bible of the Chaldeans or the Muslims. And they lift up a shout against thee. Jeremiah prophesies in Jeremiah 51 and 62, O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. Let me explain this. I know some of you would pick out things like George Washington's vision, an astounding vision that George Washington had of the invasion of America. You know, he was right on the first two wars he described, perfectly right. That the next one he described, we haven't seen yet, but it was very much an almost total conquering of the United States. But at the end, he saw bright spirits come down and strengthen the people of America to cast off this invasion. And America wasn't totally conquered. It was never the same again, but it wasn't totally destroyed. So how is it that Jeremiah, when it's speaking about the great eagle, in type and shadow, of course, which is the United States, the greatest end-time nation that it calls Babylon, so how is it that they say it will be totally desolate forever? Neither man nor beast will be in it. I'll tell you why, because this is what the Lord showed me. Now think about it. Zion in the New Testament, God speaks of a spiritual Zion, a born-again Zion, a place where the presence of God is, a mountain of God's presence, a place where New Testament spiritual Israel is going to. They're leaving Babylon and they're going to Zion. It's a spiritual sojourning. It's a parable in the Bible about growing up in God, right? So Zion is not a physical place, it's a spiritual place. Now, what about Babylon? There's two cities in the Bible that are emphasized more than any others. It's Zion and Babylon. Babylon is a spiritual entity. It is ruled, according to Isaiah, by the God of this world. The king of Babylon is identified there in Isaiah 14 as the devil himself, Lucifer, the morning star. And you just think that it is the God of the Bible. It is the Jesus of the Bible that runs America. But they got a Jesus that don't exist, folks. The real, true Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible. What is going to be destroyed totally is that entity called Babylon. It's going to be destroyed totally. It has taken over this nation. The symbols in the Bible have been found to be true every time. The lion, the bear, the eagle. In every one of those instances, it was fulfilled as prophecy in ancient times. Now we're finding that all of those symbols of nations are now again being fulfilled in the end time, a repetition of history. Except we know that the bear is not Medo-Persia this time, it's Russia. And we know that the eagle is not Babylon this time, it's America. And just as a Medo-Persian bear conquered the great eagle in ancient times, the Russian bear will conquer the eagle in these days. Just as all the prophets have been saying, even though they might not have known it was in the scriptures, they've been saying it for many, many years. And as the Lord showed to me, these things are going to happen. And the reason is because America has been gospel saturated. American Christians claim to believe the Bible, but don't. And without tribulation, without persecution, there won't be any righteousness in them. And many of them will miss the kingdom. I say that many of them that we call Christians today will miss the kingdom anyway. But without these tribulations that are to come, multitudes more would split hell wide open because they are not Christian. And their faith is not faith either. He goes on to say, now Babylon here may be Babylon of old, but the old Babylon was landlocked. But this one has seaports that are smoldering as the soldiers mourn their loss. Yes, and it was said very clearly in Jeremiah 15:51 that it was compassed about by many waters. You can't say that about natural Babylon. There's many things in Jeremiah 15:51 that do not fit natural Babylon at all. It is not a fulfillment of Jeremiah 15:51. America is. The greatest end-time nation, the most powerful end-time nation, the greatest trading nation. Many things identify America clearly. The great eagle. Ezekiel 17 calls it the great eagle. So, William's last words in this interview were with me, the Christians in this country have allowed ourselves to be controlled by minorities. It's not too late, brothers. Those nukes have not been set off yet, but they will be. Well, he's wrong about this, folks, because as Christians, God didn't call us to wrestle with flesh and blood or fight with Muslims. He called us to go to them with the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did. And if necessary, die doing it. That's what he called us to do. He did not permit us. He forbid us to return evil for evil, to do anything but love our enemies. He turned the other cheek when he was going to his cross, and so did his disciples. Not a one of them fought. The only time they took up the sword, they got a rebuke for it from Jesus himself. So the Christians that are about to fight in this nation, they don't know what Christianity is about. They haven't read their Bible. They don't know the commands of Jesus. He that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. That's his promise. So, no, our problem is not conquering the Muslims. That's the problem right there, is that they think that the only thing we can do is conquer the Muslims. That is ridiculous. They don't understand that the Muslims are there in the first place because of sin in the camp. If a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace. That's what the Bible says. The reason God's raising up an enemy is the same reason he did it all through the Bible. Rebellion in the camp of God's people. You want to do something to stop this? There's only one thing. It's repent. Not the world. Do you know the world cannot repent, folks? Nobody can repent without the grace of God. The Bible says he grants repentance. The world cannot repent. You have been given the gift to repent, not the world. And if you think they've been given that gift, you go share the gospel with them. You'll find it out. Most of them will not receive it. Those who discern and act must do so now. The Lord promises in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Hey, folks, got a revelation for you. Israel had a land, a physical land in the Old Testament. What about spiritual Israel, those who've been grafted into the olive tree of Israel? What land do we have? You think it's a carnal land? Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight." Oh, we haven't been called to fight to conquer any physical land. So while these people think that they can pray and God will save their land, let me point out to you that the overwhelming majority of people in the United States, about 98% of them, are not Christians. Oh, sure, I know everybody was born a Christian. If you weren't born a Muslim, you're a Christian, right? I used to make the mistake of going through the hospitals and praying for people, and I'd ask them if they're a Christian. Well, you know, most of them would say, yeah. If they weren't a Muslim, that's what they would say. Yeah, I'm Christian. Yeah. So I begin to ask the question a little differently. When I realized what was happening, you know, I'd start, you know, asking them if they'd ever really had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, you know. And they, if they look inquisitively at you, kind of like Ronald Reagan did, you know, what's that? You know, then you know they haven't had the real thing, you know. That they might be just good conservative people, but they really haven't had the real thing, you know. So if they do that, well, then you know you got a live one there. But at any rate, the best thing we can do is repent, because God is not going to save this land. He said, "You're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. The beast is going to make war on the saints." That's what the Bible says. And the beast is all nations, as we proved very well last time. And the harlot sits upon a seven-headed, ten-horned beast. Seven heads: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and now revived Rome. A worldwide Roman Empire. And ten horns, the ten continental divisions of the earth that the UN is going to give authority to. We're talking about the whole world coming against Christianity, so that the Christians will realize that their kingdom's not of this world either. It's the only way. Every time Israel made, in the Old Testament, as a type and a shadow for us, every time they made allegiances with world kingdoms, God said he turned their lovers against them. And that's exactly where we're going, folks. The patriotism that Christians have in America for America should be turned towards God. That's where your allegiance is. Don't pledge allegiance to no nation that's going to turn against God, because that's going to happen. They're going to hate you. All nations are going to hate you. Pledge allegiance to God. Don't pledge anything. That's what the Bible says. But turn your allegiance to God. When America, who is designing the mark of the beast, demands that for the sake of the safety of Americans, that everyone takes this mark so that they can see you from a satellite and can tell who is the dirty doer, who's the lawbreaker. When they do that for the sake of finding out who the terrorists are or controlling the terrorists, then you've pledged allegiance to this land. You'll have to take the mark. No, we don't want to do such a thing. Listen, our allegiance is to the Lord. People have died. Christians, many multitudes of Christians have died not to swear any allegiance to Caesar. Even a modern day Caesar. You know what was the symbol of the Caesar's empire? The great eagle. Another historical repetition here. You know who's the head of the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 3? The great eagle. You know who's the head of the world today? The head of the UN? The great eagle. History just keeps repeating. So, you know who's going to persecute the saints? Historically, who was it? The great eagle. Yes, they are going to come against the saints. They are going to make war on the saints. And there won't be a thing you can do to stop it. You can pray, you can repent, but this is not the land that God's going to restore. Physically, the land he was speaking about there was Israel. And spiritually, in the New Testament, it's still Israel. Because he's not an Israelite who's one outwardly in the circumcision of the flesh. He's an Israelite who's one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart. In the New Testament, to be Israel, you have to be born again. Otherwise, you're broken off of the olive tree. That's what he says. If you're in unbelief concerning Jesus Christ and salvation, you are broken off of the olive tree called all Israel. So, see, our land is not this world, not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. We have entered into a spiritual kingdom now, not a physical one. We are one nation, which covers the globe. And that's the nation we want to make sure that we're loyal to. Not any kingdom of this world. God's calling his people out of the kingdoms of this world and into the kingdom of New Testament spiritual Israel, of which the church is grafted into. That's where our loyalty has to be, folks. And soon enough, God's people will discover. I'm talking about God's true elect are going to discover it. Soon enough, they're going to know this. And the only thing that's going to give this revelation is when the world turns against God's people. When the beast destroys the harlot too. Because we have to come out. Where did God say in Revelation 18 his people were? He said, come out of her, my people. God's people are in a harlot. They've been in love with the world. They've been receiving the seed of the world instead of the seed of the kingdom. Come out of her, my people. So we have to repent. Because, once again, history is going to repeat. It's because God's on the throne. Man makes the same mistakes, and God does the same thing to deal with those mistakes. And I know I might have offended a few of you out there that have the patriotic spirit, but I'll tell you, God's going to deal with that very quickly. You have to repent of it. It's not God and country, folks. It's God. Just God. Because our country is not of this world. We're just sojourners. We're passing through. The people who love this world, and y'all heard me give the testimony of Howard Pittman, a Baptist preacher for 35 years, who died and went up to the throne. An angel came and took him to the throne. Something he didn't believe would even happen, you know. And he wanted to ask the Lord to give him his life back because he didn't have any interest in heaven. His interest was all in this world. And when God spoke to him, it knocked him down. Told him he had a self-righteous, worthless life. He was basically playing Christianity. Well, when he came back a changed man. He had a massive rupture of a vessel, one of the main vessels in the heart, going to the heart. And he died on the table. And God brought him back. And he came back a changed man. And I'll tell you one thing he did do. He went on to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And read his Bible and decide that he no longer could support religion. He had to, from that day forward, be a Christian and submit to the Word of God. And it's an awesome testimony. I think one of his books is called Demons and Eyewitness Account. It's my favorite. Demons and Eyewitness, and it's a really good book. You might search for it online. I don't know exactly where you can get it right now, but do a search for it. Demons and Eyewitness Account. It'll be a good, it's very edifying. You'll get a good blessing out of it to know what's going on all around you. You know, all around you, folks, demons are doing their work. A few years ago, I went to minister in a Presbyterian church, and they were reading Piercing the Darkness by Peretti. And it was kind of strange because in Piercing the Darkness, as you know, it's a fiction, although some people don't think it's a fiction. You know, they have the demons warring with the angels. And they're figuring strategy, and they're hiding behind houses and, you know, goofy things that you know can't happen in the spiritual realm when you can walk through a wall and nothing physical hinders. You know, it was just a very goofy book, frankly. And the truth is that that's not the kind of warfare that's going on at all. Demons are everywhere, and angels are everywhere. And we are the ones that give them authority. If we give in to the temptations of the flesh, we give authority to the devil to administer the curse to us. That's exactly what we do. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose on earth is loose in heaven. If we're loosing the devil, it's because we're living in the flesh, walking in the flesh. And if we submit to God and resist the devil, he flees. You know, I can tell you for a fact the demons and the angels can stand side by side. They are waiting for you to give authority. If you agree with the word of God, you loose the angels. If you agree with the devil, you loose him. At the same time, if you agree with the word of God, you bind the devil and you loose the angels. If you agree with the word of God, if you don't agree with the word of God, you bind the Lord. Just like the Bible tells us, the Lord himself said he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Unbelief binds the Lord. He cannot do what he's promised because he's made a condition on what he promised, and he can't lie. Be it unto you according to your faith. There's a condition. As you have believed, let it be, so shall it be unto you. There's a condition. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes. There's the condition. You see, we bind God because he cannot lie. We bind him through unbelief. So the angels and the demons are all around us, waiting. The angels, of course, to administer God's salvation, as Hebrews says. They're ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. And the demons, who have authority over those who walk in sin. God has given them that authority, and we can't even take it away from them. That's why we have to repent. So the warfare is very different from what the carnal mind would have you believe. The warfare, according to Revelation chapter 12, it says, verse 11, speaking of the saints, while in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, the dragon is warring with his angels and Michael's warring with his angels, it says in verse 11, speaking of the saints, and they overcame him. The saints overcame the devil. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. The saints overcame. How come the devil and his angels are wrestling with the angels of God and Michael? It's because you give authority to the winning side, folks. I can tell you that Michael and his angels back right off if you start walking in sin and disagree with the word, because they're bound. You've bound them by your unbelief. The Bible says if you add to the words of this book, he'll add to you the curses that are written in this book. And if you take away from the words of this book, he'll take away your part from the tree of life. See, we're the ones that give authority to the angels, because they move on what we say and what we believe. They administer God's salvation when we believe. And when they don't, the devil administers the curse. So, we have to learn to agree with the Word of God. It's the most important thing to God's people right now, which is basically what repentance is. It's learning to agree with the Word of God. In your speech, in your actions, in your thoughts, that's what repentance is. Change your mind. If we change our mind, guess who won't have authority over us? Guess who can't administer the curse to us? That's right. That's the rules. You know, the devil knows the rules and he obeys them. Read the book of Job. He knows the rules. In piercing the darkness, they stabbed an angel and he died. I thought, now that's kind of dumb. Where do you get that? That's not in the Bible. I remember one time that a demon went through a wall and hid out on the other side of a building, and an angel went through the wall and he stuck his sword out and killed the angel. That's the kind of goofy books they are out there, folks. No, the truth is that just doesn't happen. You don't hide behind anything for an angel. No, the truth is they both know when they can do their works. They have laws. The kingdom of heaven is ruled by laws. And the laws are this book. They know when they have authority and they know when they don't. We give them authority when we submit and believe. And we take away the angels' authorities when we don't believe and when we walk in sin. And so, with the things that are coming upon the world right now, where would you like to be? In God's favor every moment, right? Having having the blood on the doorposts all the time, right? Having eaten the lamb and ready for the Passover, right? That's where we want to be. So, I mean, put the Word of God in your heart and get ready, because a great shaking is coming.